I so move.
Director Daniels moves the minutes. Any corrections, discussion, corrections? All those in favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes have been approved. Before we get to the main business, one thing I know that most of you have served in the committee already this week, where there's been a gavel that looks just like this one. Have you all? I was going to have Albright explain it, but he probably has done that multiple times today, correct? But you can do the brief version for those that have not heard it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I am more than pleased to brag on my father. So about 8 or 10 months ago, I was giving him a tour of the Capitol, and he happened upon some of the gavels that were in the carts, and he picked one up and kind of discounted it pretty severely as being not worthy of being used in a chamber such or a committee room such as we are present in. And so about 3 weeks later, he called me, and he said, I'm working on something. I'm out in the shop. I'm working on the lathe. I said, oh. Didn't think anything of it. About 2 weeks later, he calls me up, and we from time to time get together in St. Peter, Minnesota for breakfast at the Nicollet Cafe. If you're in that town, you get a big plug for them. They have wonderful breakfast. He brought a box with. I said, what's in the box? He said, open it up. And inside were four different varieties of gavels and sounding boards that he had made prototypes of for committees. And so over the course of the next two months or so, we went through the finalization of style and stain and quantity. The backstory in terms of where he found the wood is quite unique in the fact that the walnut tree that was used, or trees that were used, were actually torn down to make way for a barn back in the early 1900s. At the time, the tree probably was in excess of 150 years old. So the tree that those gavels and sounding boards are made from are older than the state of Minnesota. And so they are very well aged, very well dried naturally. And each committee has been gifted a black walnut gavel and sounding board by my father.
And we thank you. And I think the thing you didn't mention it, but I did point it out, this stays with the committee. Understand? Doesn't have my name on it, so.
So, yes. Chair Norris, what you're implying that is that the committee is in possession of the gavel and the sounding board, and there's probably a promise of repercussions should it ever leave the committee's possession. That's what I inferred from your conversation.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct. Any questions of President Albright? We do thank you many, many times over. Just an aside, the chairs were asked to stay after caucus one day, and that generally means trouble. But in this case, it turned out that we were just handed this thing, and it was very nice. Very nice. I would like to, at this time, bring before us House File 3638. Move that 3638 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. I also have a delete all amendment. That would be the DE-2. I'd like to move the adoption of the DE-2 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The DE, I got to do that again. The DE-2 is amended.
It's got a nice ring
to it. Nice sound to it, yes. Takes a little practice, but it's, yeah. Okay. I believe that we have also an oral amendment. Oh, which? Oh, the A2, I'm sorry. We have another amendment here, the A2 amendment. This adds some clarifying language. Any discussion on the A2 amendment?
Mr. Chair, if I can offer an oral amendment to the A2.
All right, Representative.
On page 3, line 5, just simply to delete the word Minnesota. This was a language that was in the bill last session, and the point to be made is that the student loan counseling is for any Minnesota residents, but it doesn't matter where their debt came from in order to provide the counseling. It could be from any post-secondary institution.
Okay. Those in favor of adopting the oral amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Adopted. All right.
Thank you.
Now we need to adopt the A2, right? Okay. All right, any discussion on A2? Hearing none, all those in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? A2 amendment. It was adopted. We're now ready to hear from the staff who would like to begin walking through our bill, which shouldn't take too long.
Mr. Chair and members, the DE2 is the Omnibus Higher Education Bill for 2018. Article 1 is going to contain the supplemental appropriations for fiscal year 2019. Article 2 contains various changes to higher education policy items. And Article 3 contains bills from the Office of Higher Education. I'll start with Article 1, move on to 2, and then 3. Article 1 is the appropriations article. The committee had a $5 million spending target. It also is redistributing an additional $1 million of surplus funds from the MnState Occupational Grant Pilot Program from fiscal year 2018. So there's $6 million in total spending here in Article 1. Section 2 on page 1 of the DE has the appropriations to the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. There's a total of $500,000 going to the Office of Higher Education. $350,000 is going to the state grants. Moving on to page 2, $100,000 is going to the Agricultural Educators Loan Forgiveness Program, and $50,000 is going to the Student Loan Debt Counseling Grant, and this is a new statutory program that's added under what will be Article 2, Section 3, of the DE, and that's in the A2 amendment. And so we'll discuss that when we get to Article 2. On page 2, you also have the appropriations to Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. There is a total appropriation of $5,500,000 to MnState. Of that, there is a $5 million appropriation in fiscal year 2019 for cybersecurity programs at Metropolitan State University. And that's from House File 3639, Representative Albright's bill. There's also $500,000 that's going to workforce development scholarships. So that's all the appropriation items in Article 1. Article 2 includes policy items. Starting on page 3 of the DE, from Representative Nornes's House File 3415, this deals with sexual assault policies. It includes a change that expands the list of provisions that must be included in an institution's sexual assault policy. It adds a requirement that the policy provide notice to sexual assault victims regarding available legal resources, and that changes on page 3, line 29. The next change is going to be in the A2 amendments. This starts on page 1 of the A2 amendment. It's taken from Representative Anderson's House File 2669, and this requires the University of Minnesota to collect statistical data on incidents of sexual harassment at the university. It has to report that information to the legislature, and those changes are again on the A2 amendment, page 2, line 28 to 33. Staying on the A2 amendment, on page 3, is the new statutory student loan debt counseling program, and that is from Representative Haley's House File 794. It establishes a program administered by the Office of Higher Education to provide grants to qualified organizations that will offer student loan debt repayment counseling to individuals in Minnesota. In 2015, the legislature appropriated $150,000 to the Office of Higher Education for a pilot program along these same lines. That grant was awarded to Lutheran Social Services. So this will turn that pilot program into a statutory program. Flipping back to the DE, on page 4, starting at line 23, this is from the governor's bill, which is Representative Nornes' House File 4361. It creates a separate account in the special revenue fund for the spinal cord and traumatic brain injury research grant program. So that's just an accounting change. Beginning on page 4 and moving on to page 5, this is sections 5 and 6 of the bill. This is the change to the Regent Candidate Advisory Council. It's from Representative Nornes' House File 3372, the first engrossment. It's replacing the Regent Candidate Advisory Council with a Legislative Commission on Regent Selection. The new commission consists of 4 members from each chamber, 2 of whom are from each party. The commission is responsible for recommending 1 to 3 candidates for each vacancy to the Joint Legislative Committee. And those changes to the Regent selection process run on the DE amendment all the way through page 7. Flipping back to the A2 amendment, on page 4 of the A2 amendment, you'll see what will be section 7 of the bill. This is reducing by $1 million the appropriation to MnState's 2-year public college program grants, also called the College Occupational Scholarship Pilot Program. These are surplus funds that have not been spent, and they're redistributed in the Article 1 appropriations article of the bill. And this was proposed in the governor's bill, House File 4361. Turning back now to the DE2 amendment, on page 7 of the DE2, this is amending the 2017 appropriation for the spinal cord and TBI research grant program. It goes along with that previous section, section 4, which is an accounting change because the spinal cord injury traumatic brain research grant account is being moved into the special revenue fund. On page 8 of the DE, this is Representative Daniels, House File 3985, is an affordable textbook plan and report requiring MnState to develop a plan to increase the use of affordable textbooks and instructional materials. Finally, the last change in Article 2 is contained in the A2 amendments on page 5 of the A2. This is from Representative Anderson's House File 2669. It requests the University of Minnesota to update their sexual misconduct policies to provide university employees and their victims a right of appeal from findings of the university's Office of Equal Opportunity and Affirmative Action. And that concludes Article 2 of the bill. Article 3 of the bill is primarily the Office of Higher Education's policy bill, which is House File 3900. There are also a few items in this article that are coming from House File 3051. House File 3051 contains some accounting changes relating to funds and accounts administered by the Office of Higher Education. Just a high-level overview of Article 3. Section 1 of Article 3 deals with the P20 Education Partnership. It includes clarifying changes related to the ability of the partnership to assess early childhood information contained in the Statewide Longitudinal Educational Data System, or SLEDS. Section 2 and 3 are changes related to the Teacher Grant Candidate Program. Section 2 clarifies how a grant applicant will show intent to teach in a shortage area. Section 3, and this is on page 10 of the DE, eliminates the direction to the commission to establish a process for enforcing repayment responsibilities for applicants who do not complete their service requirements. Section 4 on page 11 of the DE moves the definition of eligible student from section 136A.1701, which is later repealed, and combines it with the existing definition of eligible student in section 136A.15, which is just the general definition section for the student loan programs. Section 5 corrects cross-references, extending it to 136A.1704. That cross-reference correction is in multiple sections in this bill. Section 6, which is on page 11 of the DE, this amends the subdivision regarding OHE's rules and policies for administering student loan programs. It removes a compatibility requirement with federal laws relating to student assistance. Sections 7, 8, 9, and 10 are all also correcting those cross-references and extending them to section 136A.1704. Section 11, which begins on page 13 of the DE, strikes repayment procedures provided for supplemental loans under section 136A.1701, which is again repealed under the bill, and inserts a cross-reference to OHE's general rules and policies for student loan programs, which is in 136A.16. Section 12, which begins on page 14 of the DE, this is one of these accounting changes from House File 3051. It specifies that the aviation loan forgiveness account is going to be in the special revenue fund, and that same change is in section 13 for the teacher shortage loan forgiveness account. In section 14, a fund is created in this, an account is created in the special revenue fund for the large animal veterinarian loan forgiveness program. Section 15, which again begins on page 14 of the DE, this is from the Office of Higher Education's policy bill again. In the Minnesota Private and Out-of-State Public Post-Secondary Education Act, it's providing a precise calculation for the amount of a surety bond required for new schools that have been granted conditional approval. And that runs up to page 16 of the DE amendment. On page 16, section 16, this is just correcting some technical accounting terminology in statute, deleting revenue income and replacing it with the word revenue. On page 17 of the bill, section 17, in the Private Career School Act, this adds the school's required disclosure to students regarding the mandated student complaint process to the list of information that the school must provide to the Office of Higher Education. On page 18 of the DE, section 18, this is in the student complaint section of the Private Career School Act. It adds a subdivision requiring a school to publish information regarding its mandated student complaint process. Finally, also on page 18 of the DE, section 19, this deals with emergency assistance for post-secondary students. In paragraph A, this is a technical change to clarify that the program is limited to Minnesota schools, not schools nationwide. And in paragraph B on page 19 of the DE, this is a change to conform to federal law regarding student financial aid. Striking language reading emergency assistance does not impact the amount of state financial aid received. That's on page 19, lines 6 and 7. Still on page 19 of the DE, section 20 of the bill, section 20 through 23 on page 20. This is also from House File 3051. These are the accounting changes dealing with moving these accounts into the special revenue fund. So it's just technical accounting changes dealing with the fact that these accounts are being moved into the special revenue fund. And on the last page of the DE, page 20, section 24, this specifies that the one-time fiscal year 2017 general fund appropriation of $2.8 million to the Office of Higher Education for the teacher candidate grants is available until June 30th, 2019. That's also from House File 3051. Finally, from the Office of Higher Education's policy bill, section 25 is a repealer. This is more technical changes relating to the repealing of certain definitions for student loan programs.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopkins. Very good. Mr. Savory, do you have something to add?
Mr. Chair, I'll just go briefly through the spreadsheet that's in members' packets. Mr. Hopkins covered a lot of the detail, and if I'll just go through some of the, I guess, the functional mathematics of it. If you look in the two columns in the center labeled House File 3638-DE2, the spreadsheet conforms with the recently adopted A2 amendment. Line 6 is the reduction of $1 million to the two-year occupational pilot program. Line 7 represents an increase of $350,000 to the Minnesota State Grant Program. Lines 8 and 9 are accounting protocols in which money is transferred from the general fund in a total of $3 million from the general fund to the special revenue fund. That transfer relates to the spinal cord and traumatic brain injury program. Line 11 represents a $100,000 increase to the Ag Educator Loan Forgiveness Program, or appropriation, excuse me. Line 12 is a $50,000 increase to the Student Loan Debt Counseling. And all of these appropriations, with the exception of the accounting actions in lines 8 and 9, are one-time appropriations. Skipping down to MinState, line 20 is a $500,000 increase to the operations and maintenance account in MinState, which is the Workforce Developmental Scholarships, a one-time appropriation. And line 21 is the SARP Security Training Program, Representative Albright's bill, for $5 million, a one-time appropriation going towards the institution at Metro State University. If you look down on line 34, you'll see the sum of the net actions is $5 million in fiscal year 18-19, which is the committee's target, meaning the committee has met its target. And lines 37 through 43 is just a record of the transfers between the general fund and the special revenue fund related to the spinal cord research grants.
Thank you, Mr. Savory. Questions? Discussion? I was just in the K-12 committee before this. This is nothing. We had hundreds of pages to deal with in that time period. So, I mean, this is important. I'm just saying that you're lucky. Tomorrow is when we will actually hear public testimony on our bill and then take final action. And that's something to look forward to. Any questions of anybody? Representative Lawson.
Mr. Chair, so you're not taking any public testimony today. We're just going to let the bill sit, and then we'll take testimony tomorrow.
That's the plan.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless there's someone that's here that I think we just stay with that plan.
No,
that
was
from the beginning. Yeah.
I understand, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. And I don't know, how much time you'll offer that tomorrow either, but we'll have a lively discussion, I hope. Yes,
Mr. Chair, I would hope that we would hear from the University of Minnesota, from Minn State, from the student groups on their view of the totality of the proposal. And then there may be other entities that may wish to also express their views
right.
on it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So you may have a few folks who would like to speak.
And we will let them.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any discussion items? Any thoughts? We want you to get a good night's sleep and be back tomorrow. So I think with that, members, we will lay this bill over until tomorrow at this committee meeting.
Oh.
Representative Schultz, you
thank
just
you, Mr.
made
Chair.
It.
I just want to make an announcement. Those cookies were from Glenn Sheen, and those were from Ms. Congdon's cookie recipe. Today is Glenn Sheen on the Hill, and they're requesting some funds in our bonding bill for maintenance of the House Museum.
Thank you for bringing those. And it looked like there's quite a few in there. So to help yourself? Okay. All right. Now, with that, our meeting is adjourned.